evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Galatians. And tonight we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 2. And we'll be beginning with verse 11, or 10 rather. I'm sorry, verse 11 of chapter 2 this evening. There are many times in our lives where we're afraid to stand for truth. And sometimes we're afraid to stand for truth because of the people that we need to confront. I know that there are choices that we have to make. Am I going to follow God, or do I want to please men and make an impression on them? And one of the things that in raising children is to try and give them a foundation which is based in the Scripture, and they would have a relationship with the Lord that would be such that they would long to stand upon God's Word and not be influenced by people around them when the people around them are not having the right position on issues or not going the right way. And it's one of the things that I'm sure that all parents pray for their children, that they would have a strong, firm foundation in Christ, and that their lives would be based on the principle of following Him instead of trying to be influenced by men. A lot of times we think of men and women that are in the church, and we think that especially if they hold positions of authority and responsibility and are teachers, that there's never a time where they need to be confronted. Well, this evening we're going to be taking a look at the interaction between Paul and Peter, and be taking a look at their lives and see what they did right and what they did wrong, and what we can learn from that. So let's read chapter 2, beginning at verse 11 through the end of the chapter. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was not to be blamed. Because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissimulated likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word this evening and help us to understand the importance of living our lives solidly based upon the foundation of your word and according to the gospel. Lord, help us to learn from the the words that you inspired Paul to record and that your Spirit has preserved that we may learn. Lord, help us to apply these truths to our lives and help your Spirit to teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you stop and think about Paul, he hadn't been a Christian as long as Peter had. He had been introduced to Jesus when he was persecuting the church and met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Christ called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles and challenged him to give his life to him at that time. As we mentioned at the first, as we've looked at the first chapter and the first portion of chapter 2, Paul didn't seek to learn from men, but rather he sought to learn from God. And he really didn't go to be with the apostles until he had spent much time with the Lord. And then he went to meet with other Christians in Damascus before he went to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles. When Paul went to meet with them, he took Titus with him. And Titus was a Gentile who had been converted to follow Christ under Paul's ministry. As we saw in the previous lessons, we saw that Titus had not been circumcised because he didn't feel compelled and convicted to do that. And he knew that he had been saved by the grace that was found in Jesus Christ alone and his faith in that means of grace. And he had did not have to earn or do things for his salvation. And he didn't have to be a Jew first. And Paul had, in the book of Acts, had brought Titus and went to the council in Jerusalem and dealt with that issue. As he comes and meets and he sees Peter, there's an interesting thing that happens. When he first meets with Peter, Peter is eating and meeting with the Gentile people. Now, what would the significance of this be, and what is the thing that's going to transpire when Peter and when James and some of the other Jewish Christians come up from Jerusalem, and they come to Antioch, where Paul and Peter are both meeting. Well, for one thing, Peter wasn't following the dietary laws. He wasn't eating kosher. He was eating with the Gentiles and eating the Gentiles' food, and that was not kosher according to the law. And Paul saw nothing wrong with that because he said, he'd been set free from the law, and he'd been given liberty in Christ, and he didn't have to follow the law to earn any favor with God, but it was only through his faith in Jesus Christ that his sins were forgiven, and then it was through faith that he grew as God's Spirit empowered him and gave him wisdom and knowledge on how to live. And so he sees Peter living amongst the Gentiles, fellowshipping with the Gentiles, but then when James and the other Jewish Christians come from Jerusalem, all of a sudden Peter changes. Let's take a look at verse 12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So in other words, before James came with these other Christians, or these Christians came from James in Jerusalem, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now I want you to see the first thing that Peter did. What did he do? Who did he look to for wisdom, and whom did he fear? Did he fear God, or did he fear men? And sometimes as Christians, we can even look to people, other Christians, and fear what they might think of us when we know something that we're doing or thinking or that they're doing or thinking is wrong, and we don't want to say anything because we don't want to look bad in their eyes, and we want to make an impression on them, and we don't want them to think less of us. One of the things that has happened in the church today is there's come much heresy into the church, and part of the reason that heresy has come into the church is because there are solid Bible-believing pastors and teachers that failed to confront the heresy when it came in because there were other teachers. I remember speaking to Dave Hunt when he was living, and he came to Fargo to preach one time, and we were talking about a lot of the things that were happening in the church, and some of the heretical doctrines. And then I was saying, well, how could some of these men who had been such solid teachers in the past, how could they be starting to slide off and go off? And he says, because it becomes a good old boy club of these preachers and teachers, and nobody wants to offend anybody or say anything about anybody else, even though they may begin to teach things that are wrong. And so then you have people that are teaching things, and the Apostle Paul himself said to Christians who were just, they weren't even, hadn't, some of them were just looking at the Scripture to see if Christianity was true, the Bereans. And he came and presented the gospel to them, and he had been commissioned by Christ to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And what did the Bereans do when he came and presented the gospel to them? Through the Scriptures. He says they immediately did not receive what he said, but they said, instead what we're going to do is we're going to go home, examine the Scriptures ourselves, compare the Scriptures to what you have said, to see if what you are saying is true. If what you are saying is true, according to the Scriptures that you have told us, then we will believe what you have said and we will accept Jesus as our Messiah. But if it's not, then we refuse to. What did Paul do with the Bereans? He commended them for doing that. He didn't say, hey, wait a second here. I've been commissioned by Jesus to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Who are you to tell me that you're going to go home and look at the Scriptures instead of just listening to what I've got to say? I remember Dave Hunt a number of times saying, if I say something that is wrong, I want you to think it is a great benefit to me, and I will not be offended if you come and confront me with it so that I can correct it. That is the proper response that we're to have. What did Peter do? These men who had been fellowshipping with James in Jerusalem came up, and why do you think Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia about Galatian churches about this example of his confrontation with Peter? Because the churches in Galatia were struggling with yielding to men that came in and said, these are our credentials, and we know what's real and what's true about the gospel, and you need to become Jewish before you become Christian, you need to follow the law before you become a Christian, and then when you become a Christian, you need to be bound to the law in order to be an effective Christian. And what they were doing is referred to as the Judaizers. They were saying you had to be a Jew first, and then you could be a Christian. Paul was addressing this whole issue about what they were doing. The second issue that he's going to address to the church at Galatia is a very similar issue to what Peter was struggling with here. Do I want to live my life in a manner that will be pleasing to men or pleasing to God? Because oftentimes we as Christians can be asked to do things that we know in our conscience are wrong, and that God is pricking our spirit saying, don't do that, don't go there. But when we say, but these people, I want to make an impression on them, or these people, they're my family, or these people, they're my friends, and they want me to do this, whatever the thing may be. And so we give in and we do that which we know is wrong, simply so that we don't offend those that are around us, or so that we can make an impression on them, and that they'll like us. Paul was in this position. Peter's coming, and Peter's a leader in the church. Peter was one of the inner circle when Jesus walked on the earth. God had given Peter tremendous insight. Peter, when he preached his first sermon in Jerusalem, saw 5,000 men come to Christ. Had a tremendous impact with his message. And now Paul comes to Peter, and he could go, well, Peter, I see what he's doing, but I'm not going to say anything because I don't want him to think less of me. And after all, he's got a much greater ministry than I do and has had a greater ministry and had a greater position with Jesus. And so I won't say anything. But Peter was doing that which was wrong, and Paul saw it, and because he both cared for Peter as well as he cared for the other Christians. Now, what was Peter doing And how would the impact be on the other Christians if Paul would have said nothing? Well, all of a sudden you would have not had a unified body in Christ, right? You would have had a split body. You would have the Jewish Christians who viewed themselves to be a notch higher than the Gentile Christians because they were keeping the law. And that made them more significant and important in the eyes of God. God said, no, I'm not a respecter of persons. You come to me through Jesus, my son. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, said Jesus. And we are saved by grace in Jesus. We walk by faith in Jesus. And so Paul would be doing a disservice if he didn't confront Peter because he wouldn't be addressing a really potential heretical teaching that could enter into the church. And so Paul does confront Peter. And it says here, what happened when Peter did this? It says the other Jews disassembled, likewise with him. In other words, they quit fellowshipping with the Gentile Christians, just as Peter did when these Jerusalem Christians showed up, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with this dissimulation. Now, stop. I want you to see the impact that false teaching can have. Who was Barnabas? Barnabas was Paul's right-hand man. They were going out, ministering together, preaching together, teaching together, leading Gentiles to Christ together. Barnabas was a Jew, just as Paul was a Jew. But all of a sudden, Barnabas began to be sucked into this false teaching because he has looked at Peter and followed what Peter did. And so I want you to understand, you can have strong Christians that can be led astray as they look at what we're doing, and when we do something that's wrong and not following Christ the way the Scriptures tell us to, we can influence other Christians that are really should be strong in the Lord. He says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Now, this was the key. There are different things that we can do. We can hold different positions on things. But he's saying, what was the key issue here? It was the gospel that was under attack. And how was the gospel under attack? Because they were adding to the gospel. And they were presenting a gospel that they said was the same, but it really wasn't. Because it was a works combined with faith. It was a works combined with just trusting in the finished work of Jesus in transforming your life. And so they weren't following it right or correctly, uprightly, the truth of the gospel. And I said unto Peter before them all. Now, as Peter was doing this before everybody, Paul confronted him and before everybody. And one of the things that this takes great boldness and courage, and God led him to do this, and he did it because Peter was making a great impact on all the Christians that were around him in the church in Antioch because they were beginning to get a false picture of what the gospel was. And Peter, who had presented the right picture initially, was now changing it. And Paul confronted him, what are you doing? And why are you changing your message? Why are you changing what you're doing? So let's take a look exactly what he confronted him with. He says, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? And so he's saying, Peter, you came up here, and you came to the church at Antioch, and it was mainly Gentile Christians that you found here. And so you fellowshipped with them as Gentiles, you lived as a Gentile would live, because God had given you the freedom to do that. He said, we were not bound by the law. And so that's what you were doing, but then all of a sudden, then you went back under the law, and now you're telling everybody else, I don't have to live as a Jew when I'm just amongst the Gentiles, but you Gentiles must become a Jew in order to become a functional Christian or someone who really can walk effectively with the Lord. And that's the issue of confrontation that Paul is making. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, wait a second, Peter. You know, we are Jews by nature. We've learned and lived under the law. And we've been led by the Scriptures our whole life. But yet we know, you and I know, that we can't be saved except by Christ. And that the law has no impact on our salvation other than leading us to the point where we need to know we accept Jesus. But now you're taking that and casting it aside and saying that the Gentiles must become Jews first. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so he lays it right out, and he says, the law has no impact in justifying us or saving us or for having our sins forgiven. But, and then comes the but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. So he's saying, if when we're a Christian and we sin, does that mean that Jesus is the author of sin? No. It means that we're sinners and we need to confess that sin, but Christ isn't the reason we're sinning. He set us free from sin. And he goes on to explain this. He says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And there he's telling Peter, God, you were putting your faith and your trust before Christ in being a Jew. And Peter was an Orthodox Jew. He kept the law. He kept the celebrations. He went to the Passovers. He did every. He went to the temple to worship. He did everything that the law demanded that he do prior to coming to Christ. But when Christ came and introduced him to the fact that he needed to have faith in Jesus and in his death, Paul was transformed. Prior to that, Paul didn't walk in the power. Paul was still walking in his flesh a lot of the time. But after Christ rose from the dead and Peter was transformed by the power of his Spirit, he became a new creature in Christ. And Paul's saying, if this happened, then why are you destroying that what God has done? For I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. And so he's saying here that the law reveals that it cannot save me. I can't do anything to earn my salvation. That's what the law reveals. And it's through the law that I become dead to the law. And what Paul is saying is, it's by understanding the law and my total helplessness in doing anything to earn my own salvation, the law enables me to be saved. Because it points me to Christ and shows that the only means of salvation I can have is through faith in Christ. And I can't keep the law. So by the law reveals to me that the law is of no effect in my salvation other than to show me Jesus. And then he goes on and he tells him his position and what all their positions of every Christian is. I am crucified with Christ. Okay? Now here he's talking about dying to yourself. Jesus said, no man can live except he dies to himself. You need to die to yourself that you might live. And Paul is talking about this here. He says, I am crucified with Christ. My old nature, my sinful nature, is crucified with Christ at Calvary. My sins are placed upon Him. He took my penalty for my sins. Why? That I might live. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How does He live? He lives spiritually. And He lives not as Himself, but Christ living in Him. Every one of us who's a believer has Jesus living in us, has His Spirit residing in our lives. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so we live not to please men, we live not to please ourselves, but we live to fulfill what God has done in our lives to transform us that we may please Him. And we walk according to what He has done in our lives. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And so Paul closes this by saying, I'm not doing anything that frustrates my salvation by presenting to you this significance of dying in Christ that I might live in God and become alive to God. Instead, I'm showing you that Christ did not die in vain by you turning back to the law. So Peter was confronted by Paul. Paul was not a respecter of persons, but rather he desired to base his life upon principle. And that principle was found in God's Word and in his walk with the Lord. And even when he was came to having to choose between following someone that he respected, when it came down to it, he would confront if that person was doing that which is wrong. I want to tell you there'd be a lot less heresy in the churches today if people would be willing to confront and deal with people, and there'd be a lot more effective ministries in the church today if people would be confronted like Paul challenged the Bereans to confront him if he was wrong. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray you just help us to understand your word. Help us to realize we're not to be respecters of persons and we're not to seek to please men, but we're rather to walk according to the principle of your word. Go with us now and enable us to have just a blessed rest of this week. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 300.